Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Dislike.
Okay.
Strongly dislike.
But for this particular person, I hate him.
Oh my God. I want to say dislike. I want to say dislike. You can dislike it. It's fine. Hate is just a bad thing that's happened.
But you got to go extreme. You got to go extreme sometimes. Because these white rappers just be in here taking up space.
How?
What do you mean how? All that.
Ain't nobody going to a Russ concert killing and shooting like what?
So I wish they were.
Well, we need a balance.
We don't have the balance though.
Can you imagine if we didn't have a balance of if it was just African American artists every day?
Rappers?
I love it. I mean, we can have rappers, but doesn't have to mean that it's only black
people. I enjoy black people.
What about Cap G? He's Mexican.
But I haven't heard Cap G records since 2015.
I mean, you know this. I'm around all these artists, so they give me their records.
Right, so you're hearing it more. No, absolutely not.
These are the deeper best ones too, by the way.
Nothing else matters
other than that.
This is the only 10.
All the stats.
Yeah, these are the only 10.
I got to ask you this question. So, what do you feel about people who redo a sneaker silhouette that's not...
Oh, like collabs?
I don't consider it a collab. I'm talking about people like, let's say, when you see Kool Kai.
Hate him bad. And that's the word.
He's a black guy.
That's the word I want to use. Hate. Because he's stealing from another black guy. Why he didn't do the 10s? Why he didn't do the 11s?
Here's a question. Who designed the Jordan 1 silhouette? Was it Tinker? I don't think it was Tinker.
No, but it was Michael. But this was still Michael Jordan.
Well, Michael approved it.
This was his brand.
So we need to find out who designed
it. I think we know. I can't remember.
The official Jordan 1 silhouette.
The 1 and 2 was made by...
3. 1 and 3s are my favorite. I used to love 9s. And then...
They're too clunky after a while. Peter Moore.
Peter Moore. Is he black?
Doubt it. Highly doubt it.
Tell me with that name, Peter.
Not Peter
well,
Moore.
Peter who owns all the damn bar ones from Housewives, who, you know what I mean? He's black. You know what Peter I'm talking about, right? Yeah. That motherfucker owned bar one, Miami bar one, Baltimore bar one. He owns a lot.
He's definitely not black.
He's not black?
Yeah, he's very white.
We need to thank him.
Kool Kai needs to thank him, not us.
But listen, Kool Kai is making millions of dollars. Can you imagine if you're sitting home, COVID happens, fuck, what can I do to make some money?
I could just start making bootleg Jordans.
I'm not a fan of it. Did he give me a pair? Yes.
Did you wear them?
Yes, I did wear them.
That's disgusting.
I wore them, but I wore them not like I wore to an event that we'll go to for, you know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I wore them. No. I don't say this like in a bad way. I wore them not like, I forgot where I wore it, but it wasn't to like something where.
You threw them out?
Huh?
You threw them out after?
I still got them.
Let's throw them out.
No, listen.
Let's make content of me and you going to your sneaker collection.
No.
Go getting your Kool Kais and throwing them out.
I got one pair. They get.
So let's throw them out.
His partner is David.
I know.
Reese Paris.
I don't know.
That's my guy. He's from Queens, so he partnered with him. But
of course,
he gave me a pair.
Part of this.
He gave me a pair. I guess I know David have all the companies, so
right.
I mean the warehouses. So he probably could get the shoes done. Blah 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 blah. And they doing their thing. I respect them making money. I just would love for them to make their sneakers silhouette and not use the Jordan one.
So why not use the word? There's a word for it.
I dislike.
It's called bootlegging.
Yes.
You didn't want to use the word bootlegging.
No, listen. I'm all for people making money, but I would appreciate even more.
What if somebody started what if somebody started bootlegging your shit?
I wouldn't like it. But all right. But you know what it is? When you sit back and think about it, it's been happening for years.
I mean, yeah, that is almost the essence of hip hop.
Randy came out with Godspeed, right?
Yeah.
It became so successful in our market, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had a brand called Hudson. Remember Hudson?
Yeah, Hudson Circle Black.
They bootlegged that shit and then forget about it. Everybody had one of those moto jackets. Yep. And then before you know, Hudson is a huge company. They can mass produce it.
Right.
And they cut his price down. So them 1,500 jackets Randy was selling, now Hudson is doing it for $200.
So now, imagine.
Only thing Kukai is charging, I think, like $250 now.
When Jordan's retail for $180.
Exactly. So
he's charging you $250 for the bootleg.
Right.
Bad material. How long did your feet hurt after wearing them?
No, they were, the quality was amazing.
You about to lie. You're the only person I ever heard say that.
The quality on the orange ones he gave me. It's just orange ones they gave me. They were really good. I'm not going to lie.
You are the only person I heard say that.
I think people respect the fact that he comes with different colorways that they wish Jordan 1 had. But
is that not the art of bootlegging?
Right.
You remember when Nice Kicks used to be the fake sneaker site? Right. Before it was this. Right. Before they bought the name and made it the sneaker blog, nicekicks.com was where you could go and get like French blue nines. Something crazy, like Skittled color eights.
Right.
But now niggas are respecting it because it's black business. See the bullshit? Dealing with in the community, Drew?
Listen, I'm going to be real with you. I would like for him, if he made, let's say he was super successful now at bootlegging or whatever, I would like for him now to make his own design. Now, you know, your own design.
He'll never do it.
Like, you think he's that comfortable with running up the Jordan 1 silhouette?
Yeah, the same. What they say, innovators innovate, creators create,
right?
Imitators imitate. Why do you think imitators never have a second?
So would you consider yourself hating?
I don't care what they call it.
No, would you
say? Would I consider it? Yeah, because I hate it.
So you're saying you can admit, like, hey, I'm a hater.
If I hate something, I hate it. So if that makes me a hater.
Does that make you a hater? Because you hate something?
It's not up to me. It's up to the person that is receiving the hate.
I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Nap Wilds.
I'm Fly Ra.
And we are
Guys Next Door.
Welcome back. It is the Guys Next Door podcast. Happy Monday. I am, as you can hear,
close this out because it was Russ. What you call it? I don't know how you feel, but okay.
As you can see, as you can hear, I'm joined by a good brother of mine, good friend of mine, the legendary, the best DJ in the world. That's the tag, and I honestly believe, and I for one believe it. We got DJ Booth.
DJ Booth.
This is sick.
Who you know brings a laptop
this
to it?
This is sick.
Come on. I'm a DJ with the... That's the first time. That never happened before, right?
Never.
That never happened?
Never. We haven't had sounds since
2019. Period.
This is gonna be a shit show.
They actually have something called a shit show in Atlanta.
What is that?
It's a talent show called the shit show, and it's people who like shitty artists who think they're good, and everyone, they throw pieces of shit at them.
Where did they get the shit from?
No, it's like
it's like not real shit.
It's not real shit. Yeah, it's crazy. It's called the shit show. Look it up.
I'm coming.
It's fire, bro. It's
I'm
fire.
Going. When do they do it?
I think it's like once or twice a month.
I'm dope. The next one I'm gonna pull up. Shit show people, please reach out to me. I want to have y'all on the podcast because that's a genius idea. Right up my alley.
Right.
Shout out to Mac Wild. Shout out to Fly Rye. Mac is not sick. Mac is actually rocking with his pops. Ryan is sick.
Paul's on there rocking with my pops.
He's rocking with his pops.
Rocking? It's pop. I be pausing everything. I'm sorry, man.
Now, you called me early on the text. I was bugging. I don't know why I was so horny. That's crazy. That was crazy. I had no need to say that.
And you said horny? Did you just say horny?
Yeah, that's why.
Bro, guess what record is up right now?
What?
You want?
I don't want to see it. Is it who?
Two Live Crew what?
Me so.
That's crazy.
Listen, y'all, make sure y'all subscribe. Make sure y'all subscribe to the Guys Next Door podcast on Apple Podcasts. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave a comment and a rating. What kind of rating? A 5-star rating.
5-star.
Why? Because I'm a child and we need validation.
Bing bong.
That's very... Is that what's playing?
I just played it.
Listen, also make sure y'all are subscribed and following us on YouTube, Guys Next Door Podcast. Make sure you become a patron today, so you can see all the bonus episodes and the bonus material and get your merch and all that stuff y'all need. Patreon.com/Guys Next Door Pod. Also, make sure you follow us on all socials, Guys Next Door Pod. And if you want to continue the conversation on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag Guys Next Door. Yeah, just Guys Next Door.
They have like Guys Next Door, like / like Tinder or like.
Nope. Mm-mm. Shouldn't. They shouldn't.
Sure. Not like Black Planet and like that. You know, those, they're still open, you know.
Why would we have a Guys Next Door Tinder?
I mean, Guy Next Door.
All of us live by the mantra of real life.
Okay. Yeah. Well, make sure, you never know. I mean.
Drew, you want to run the Guys Next Door? You want to run the Guys Next Door Tinder account? you could take all the dates.
Hey, you never
that would get pretty expensive.
I mean, hey, sometimes you know one of y'all might have a
nope.
Okay,
Max married.
Yeah. Okay,
Max married, and me and Ryan live off the grid.
Okay, so and that could be off the grid.
No, it's not. That's the grid.
I mean, but who knows who's behind it?
It's gonna be Drew. That's what I'm telling them right now. If you see a Guys Next Door Tinder, it is Drew.
Gotcha.
It is not us.
Gotcha.
Now, as you heard earlier, before the show started, you know, a little cold open. You heard me and DJ Booth speaking.
Yes.
About haters.
Yes.
Booth.
Dislikers.
No, I'm a hater. That's what I'm asking you, Booth. Would you consider me a hater?
Hate is a strong word. Hate is a very strong word. If you have, I mean, I don't want anybody to be a hater. You know, that's a sin.
It is.
And it could be a trait.
But just because somebody calls you a hater doesn't necessarily make you a hater.
Well, that's why.
Like when people say, oh, Mouse, these people, I don't like you. I don't think I have haters. Okay. I think it takes a certain level of narcissism to believe you have haters.
Okay.
Because that means like you are like this.
Do you say hateful things?
Do I?
Or you're just strongly opinionated?
I say the truth. I say what I think. I say what I believe.
Well, what you believe is your truth.
I say what is necessarily my belief.
Okay.
I necessarily speak my beliefs. That's how I put it. Because there's always there's a bunch of things that we probably could say that we don't.
Right.
There's probably a bunch of ideas we could give to things that don't really matter or things that do matter but don't matter to us.
Right.
I don't do that. But if I'm asked my opinion on
what happened, have you ever been corrected when you were wrong? Somebody gave you like supporting detail and facts like
many times.
And it was something that you said you hated.
Oh, no, never since that. No, no, for nothing like that. No.
Okay.
Like I've been wrong. But like given my opinion, I've been wrong.
Okay.
And people have like corrected me.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, because you have to or
and you
we
accepted
die.
That constructive criticism.
You have to or we die.
Okay.
Especially in this industry.
Okay. Like right then and there, like.
I mean, eventually.
Okay.
Eventually, you will die.
Like,
out.
You're wrong.
Be like, you're wrong. I'm not accepting that. Right. No, right. I think that will happen. So I think, especially in this medium where, you know, we're thought leaders and thought provokers, if you can't hear constructive criticism and then apply it, you're going to eventually die out. You're not going to be important.
Also, depends on who is it coming from. Plays a major point.
No. Not for me.
Not for you?
Everybody. Like, you can
Let's
think
say
of
say your parents was to tell you something that you don't like. But it's the truth.
It has to be the truth. All I care about is it the truth. I don't have to like it.
Gotcha.
If it's the truth, I'm forced to deal with it. The Bible says only a fool runs from construction. Right. From
He's raised in a church?
Yeah.
So was I.
See? Like
I was altar boy.
No, I wasn't. You was Catholic?
Yes. Oh my. My mother taught Sunday school. I went through the whole.
Now, see, this is what I love. How does DJ Booth go from being an altar boy
to a porn star? Oh, my bad. Oh, we didn't talk about that yet.
All right. Well, yes. Let's go ahead. How do you go from being an altar boy to a porn star to the best DJ?
I'm joking, guys.
To the best DJ in the world. How did that happen?
Humor sucks.
But no, seriously. How do you go from being getting to where you are today? From
my parents.
Yeah.
No. My parents. I feel like everybody's parents forced them to go to church. Put on this horrible suit.
Yeah.
These horrible dress pants. You know,
horrible shoes. Yeah.
Horrible shoes.
I refuse to wear a pair of hard bottoms.
Forced me
today.
To go to Sunday school, go to baptism, communion, penance, confirmation, all works. My parents forced me, and I think at that point in my life, I was just too way young. My mind was, you know, as a kid, my mind was somewhere else.
Right, right.
And not understanding that, you know, I feel like religion is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm actually thankful that I'm lucky to have both my parents in my life, you know, raising a two-parent home. That they instilled religion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, Christ, God, you know, creator of all things, kept that in me. And now that I'm older now, I'm glad
that was
something they put in my life. So for me, coming from that environment and into being...
We're living lives completely different from what we were raised
exactly,
to live.
So for me... Coming from a good home, four sisters, parents had me in every activity you could think of, marching band, I played the piano, trumpet, you know, I was pretty much, you know, did everything that, you know, most parents keep their kids involved in, not away from the street. Was I in the streets? Yes, but I wasn't in the streets.
Right.
I had street friends.
Right.
I played Skelly, if you want to consider that street.
Listen, you made some money, you was in the street.
Right, you know what I mean? But I never, you know, so... for me to go from something like that into something totally opposite,
you know,
most people say like industry is like the devil's work. You know what I mean? I hear that plenty of times. You know
that's
what I mean?
Just people who can't get in.
Yeah.
I've never heard that from people in the industry.
Yeah, because they don't say that.
I think
the people that, I feel the people that were in it,
that were in it,
that dealt with things that made them turn their life over to Christ. I think we know plenty of people that... Or people who've committed suicide because, you know, things they were forced to do, forced to see. There was extortion. There was a lot of stuff going on before our time that some people held it still, didn't do nothing, got in, got out, or just stopped making music or stopped, you know, we don't know, right?
Right, right.
So I don't, to back to your question, from me going from that to that, I think it was just the music, you know, my parents... You know, Trinidadian descent, you know, St. Vincent. My mom's from Trinidad and my dad's from St. Vincent. So they would play soca, you know.
Right.
You know, calypso,
right.
You know, for the OGs, you know. So, you know.
The music that's played when music, I get my break.
Right.
When that music hits, that's when I know, all right, go take a break, y'all.
Right. So that was just instilled in me. And I don't know. I just thought music was just a part of my life. And, I just love to see how people react to music, like what, you know, whether it is. So, and I just want to be a part of that. So started from the marching band and then it started from, you know, one of my good friends, Sharif and Dyson showed me how to DJ.
Mm.
Didn't know how to do it at all. Couldn't figure it out. And then I used to go to his crib every single day. And then one day I woke up a Saturday morning, like, oh shit, I think I know how to do this shit.
Right.
Yo, I called him at 6 a.m. in the morning and said, bro, hell no, my mom going kill us for playing music. And then later that day, and then for some reason, I figured out how to blend two records at the same time. And then, you know, I'm from this era. I got a tattoo.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford Technique 1200.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got the Technique.
I had to get Geminis, which was the white roll. Like people to get Heinz ketchup, I had the white rolls, you know, the Bravo associated turntables. You know what I mean?
You had the generic joy. America's Choice turntables.
The 30 command. Like you can't get this, get that. You know what I mean? It's like people had polo, I had like chaps.
Oh.
And your parents if anybody like, remember chaps?
Yeah, and your parents be like, it's just as good. No, it's not.
It's not Ralph Lauren.
It's not Ralph.
Chaps, this is...
You don't want me to succeed.
Right? So, Yeah, that's music just became, and you know, I got really good at DJing. You know, beat picking up records from Beat Street, Music Factory, Rock and Soul.
You're taking it back, yeah.
Yeah, and then you know, got really good at what I did, local parties, and then boom.
Now you can't just skip over those local parties because those were legendary.
I mean, the local parties.
That is when I found. That's when I discovered. So when you were like at attractions and when you was at the Elks and spots like that.
Oh man, the Lab.
Yeah. So talk about that because that is building community, right. And I think that is a. I think that's an important part that DJs, hosts, personalities, however you want to say, anybody that was empowered by the people, we sometimes skip over that very important part in our story.
Oh, now I say, listen, I say it all the time, and most people say, man. You know, it ain't about what you did years ago. It's about what you're doing now.
That's like,
listen,
a lie.
Man, listen, man, it's about what you did, period.
That's a fact.
We got to state, you know, and I tell most people, like, man, I've been doing this a long time, bro, a long time. Like, DJing in high school, well, just getting out of high school. I went to college, and, you know, I was still DJing. But it started from, it's y'all, and, you know, hopefully this interview, this conversation travels to someone that has something very important that I don't know where it's located. Hopefully somebody finds this, but it started. So you guys keep that right here somewhere.
I got you.
So I started DJing, got really, really good. And then was doing local talent shows, just talent shows before any parties, anything. And I did one of my good friends, Barry. Barry had a talent show. Barry B, he's like my mentor, my guy. He was 1 year, I think like 2 years older than me in high school, went to Boys and Girls High School in Brooklyn, and got kicked out, got sent to the old boys high.
Okay.
You know, really rough. Yes. Really rough.
The castle.
Yes. All the gangsters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was just the guy who was dancing. I used to do the Brook Up and all that. Harlem Shake, you know. That was just my thing. And then DJing took over, and I got into the talent shows. DJing talent shows got really good. And then there was Flex in Brooklyn. Everybody knew what Flex in Brooklyn was. I was. Me and my crew, you know, rest in peace, Benny, Prince, OB, you know, Bonus, Boo, Black, Boz, just everybody, you know. Got really good at that. So now I'm a dancing DJ now, you know what I mean? And then there's one crew called Trump Tight.
Okay.
LB the Mayor. From Bed-Stuy, yep. So everyone knows who LB is, and Julius, and then there was oh my god, I forgot the name.
Yeah, that's LB.
His name. Oh my god, I forgot his name. JR. They had a crew, and then they were called Trump Tight. Trump Tight. Yeah. Came in Trump Tight. That's when, like, Trump wasn't, you know, what we know him is. You know?
Right. That's when
but
he
we
was
know
right.
Trump meant money, so that's right. You know, but. And I remember I'm like, yo, guys, man, you got to get me the DJ. They was doing all the clubs in Brooklyn, like the Lab, like all that. And I'm like, man, you got to get me the DJ. He's like, bro, you know, we going to come check you out. I had to audition for them.
Wow.
So imagine these guys getting money in the streets.
Yeah.
It was known to have all the baddest joints come out. You know, this is when people used to wear Coogees and Iceberg and Moschino.
Right,
and,
right.
Like, you know what I mean? And they came to my mom's crib, had my turntables there, with the coffin and all that. And I'm like, let's hear how you play. I'm like, man, there's nobody here. I'm playing for two people. They're sitting on my bed looking at me while I'm DJing.
Right.
So it's like, how am I supposed to act? Like,
right.
So I guess they want to see. So I had to audition in front of them. So I had to really treat it like a club.
Yeah.
Crazy, bro.
Yeah.
So I did my thing. I was like, how are we going to get in? And they had me open up. For like Mr. C,
okay,
open up for DJ Culture. Culture was like that, you know, at that time. Self, you know, pretty much all those DJs that were has to be the opening DJ, and they were, at that time, you know, DJs had no personality,
right?
There was none of them talked on the mic, so there was like rest in peace. There were Frank Jugger,
okay.
There was Silky Valente. There was Fame Fortune.
I remember Fame Fortune. Yep.
So, and then there was, you know, obviously we know D Round the Clock, Kino, Real People, MTA Players, Rocky. This was when Rocky was actually with he had another partner.
Yeah.
I mean, way before. So I'm opening up all these spots, bro. All these spots. Oh, I'm bugging. I'm skipping past. My bad. So the people who put me on, who Elk Trump tight. So I'm doing the lab. I'm doing all the team parties, Elks,
yep.
Attractions.
Yep.
I'm
Empire.
Empire Skating Rings, mm-hmm. Have the team nights.
Yep.
So I'm doing all that. So I'm doing all the local parties in Brooklyn. And I became that go-to guy. Mm-hmm. Like, nah, you got to book Booth. Booth is the best. He got all of the old young girls. And at that time, there were so many girl groups. There was like Vixens, Prima Donnas, 2020 late, like all these girls. And it's funny because I used to date, like, let's say one girl out of each crew. So, you know, if you date that one girl out of each crew, now you got to get Booth.
Right.
I remember there was a crew called PDs. They're from Long Island. Ashanti's sister.
Her younger
sister.
Called
the PDs, yes, Presidential
exactly.
Dimes.
Yep.
There was somebody out there crew who mm-hmm. I knew we were cool and kicking it. And so I became their DJ at one point, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So now I have all these different, that was my marketing at one point. I have all these different girl groups. We got to get Booth.
Right.
So now the promoters have no choice but to book me because like all these girls keep telling us, you got to book Booth.
Right.
So that's how I'm in, you know, so that was pretty much my career. And then boom, got to the city. So Trump type.
Well, what's that? I guess my thing is, because I don't want to lose that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That part is so important because mm-hmm. that's how I get here, right? Like without Brooklyn,
right.
There is no Maelstrom. Without that Brooklyn part scene, right. Without Vok, without Cash Facts, without, you know, being inspired.
Club Rain was my club. Okay. Rain on Washington and...
It
was on Washington between Flushing... Was it? It's
up this way.
Yes.
We're not too far from it right now.
We're not too far from it, yes.
I can't remember the cross street.
Yes, but you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. Right where the underpath go down. Yeah, right. And I think Jay-Z did American Gangster. I went to that. He did this whole, what you call it, right in that area. The studios, mm-hmm. the big film studios mm-hmm. right over there. But Club Rain was my, how Funk Flex had the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Club Rain was my tunnel.
Okay.
Everybody in Brooklyn went to Club Rain.
That's a fact.
Every person went to Rain. And I was the face of Rain. Don Poole was the owner. If you know who Don Poole, obviously, you know Brooklyn Chop House.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Express Philippe's that used to be, people don't know, he had Express Philippe's on Columbus Circle.
Yep.
I don't know what happened with that. But then he had a bunch of IHOPs. He had a bunch of restaurants. Rest in peace of Diamond, his partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know Diamond... He managed pretty much everybody you could think of.
Yeah, that's
Mary J, Fox, everybody. He had a hand in, if I'm correct, if I believe that. If I'm right from what I was told. I was able to be that guy in his club. Every promoter went to book their party there, and then that club was what really made me. Like, what made me was the found the Elks and all that, but then it got me. So,
because all those
teenager,
people can't, then all
exactly.
the teens
and
grew
I'm
up,
growing.
And then... All followed you.
All followed me to that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have my generation and I have this older generation. So now I'm like, yo, I'm that guy. So now I'm breaking records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember.
You remember the first record you broke?
The first record I broke. Let me think. The first record I broke. There was a record. I used to go back and forth. When it got to that point, mm-hmm. I had a Dodge Charger.
Okay.
06, that's when it first came out.
Yep.
T.I. dropped Paper Trail. You know, that's when Dodge Magnums. Mm-hmm. Remember the Magnums mm-hmm. late?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Magnums and Chargers first mm-hmm. came out. I didn't have a Hemi. Okay, guys, I had the cloth seats, and I remember buying the portable TVs to put in the headrest. I actually got a picture.
I had the
cloth
seats.
Don't laugh at me.
I'm laughing at the way you said it. Like
I didn't have the Hemi, but we all know Hemis. The Hemis, you had to have a Hemi.
You had to have the Hemi.
Don't laugh at me. Here's a picture right now. That's Young Booth. This was,
what'd that say?
2000, look at the date, 2007, with the TV strapped in a headrest.
Very Brooklyn. With
a Montclair.
With
a Montclair. that was my spot. Club Rain did it. It did everything it did for me. And then from there, you already know how that go. From Brooklyn, went to the city.
Right.
And
how important is it to get to the city? Like, can an artist skip the city?
Every DJ. It's like you having a record, and your record is cool in a club.
It's good where you
but
at.
Once it gets to the radio,
mm-hmm.
that's when you know you made it. So if I,
And for a DJ, the city is the radio.
Because that's where all the big DJs were, you know, at that time. You know, the popular DJs at that time. Like, how do you get in a city? When AJ from 106 and Park had the parties Cheetahs.
He used to be a promo. Like the Black Diamond or something like that?
Yeah. Like, think about all that. Supper Club, I&I, Zsa Zsa from I&I. I remember, you know, I'm still using records. Still records. I had crates of records. You know what I mean? I remember opening up for these DJs, Culture, and I had to have a mean opening set. And I remember A. Marie.
What was that like? What was it like back then, right? Like, because now, you know, being a host, I know kind of a bit of the DJ law. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to open, like first of all, it's very far and few between, but if I am there with the opening DJ, I'll kind of be like, oh, I hope you don't.
Right.
Like, oh, you did it. Why you did that? You know, the DJ got to go on after.
That, like, was those
codes like that back then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. 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 You have to respect, you know, with the law of the land is what they say. So, there's a DJ, obviously, you know, they know they're paying him top dollar to be there at primetime. See, I'm from a generation where I used to open in DJ clubs from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Just you.
I started off just me.
Just you.
So I know how to pace the party.
Yes.
You can't play the hot at that back then was, for me, was what, well, let's say, Jaquan Tipsy.
Mm-hmm. You can't play that.
Or
you
Hood Hop. Yeah, or Cassidy, yeah. You know, I got my, you know.
Got my drink and my two-step. You can't play that 11
about
to 1.
Me or, yeah. you know. Still B-Boy Stance. Mm-hmm. People don't even play that record no more. No, chilling gone. In the club.
And my B-Boy. Like, yeah, that's gone.
You know, so you have to open up for a DJ and playing, you know, records that weren't primetime records. And what people don't understand, some DJs just, when they see that they didn't have enough records, you know, or they just didn't know, they didn't have music knowledge, know how to keep a club or keep the vibe going. You know, where you keep people in the club, but you didn't touch those songs yet. And that's, to me, if you can open a club really good without touching those records and have people still mingling and drinking, you're the man. And people don't understand, playing primetime is easy. It's easy, in my opinion.
You might as well be a radio DJ.
Yeah, because opening a club is the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do.
You got to keep people.
Because you got to keep people. How many times have you been to a spot where you walked that man a DJ? Suck.
Many a times.
All right. So that's I feel like opening DJ should get paid way more than primetime DJ. Think about it, because their job is to keep people.
You about to start an argument.
No, but they, we're not going to get, we can get into the price of what DJs get. That's a fact.
No, but I mean, listen, we're here.
But that's what I feel. I honestly feel that we know an opening DJ isn't valued no more.
Oh, that's a fact.
They ain't valued. At this point, you could just, hey, man, yo, Miles, make a quick little mix. I give you $50 and run that mix, mix, till the primetime DJ comes in at 1 o'clock. You know, people don't really start coming. You know, everybody's a star. Everybody wants to come in 1:30. You know, you have a few people from out of town who don't know better, so they come
they
in early.
Show up on time, but yeah,
exactly. You know, or some people just want to party early and go home early, which is fine. You know, You know, so opening was, I had to do that in order to get to that. Like, we all know you don't start up once you get in the city, once you build your name. I had Brooklyn on Smash. No one was doing what
and
I was
how
doing.
How tough was that with the DJ, with, you know, so many DJs coming up out of Brooklyn at the
but
time?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. So when I came up, I was a West Indian DJ.
Right.
Right. So what people don't understand, some people do, when I came into the game, I was a West Indian DJ. Mm-hmm. I was called Deadly Movements. Crazy. Okay. Deadly Movements. You know. So I had dub plates. If you know West Indian, you know what that, right. You know. And I seen that it was so competitive because there was like Steely Bashment. There was like, you know, King Lion. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a Freak Sound, which is Noriega. Yeah. Nori. Yeah. You know, Stone Love. Yeah. You know, King IDs, all this. And
sounds
I'm like, man, like,
East
I don't have dub plates like these dudes. They got relationships with Bounty Killer beating, like,
right.
You know. And I'm like, man, I love hip hop. Let me take the West Indian style of what I know and put into hip hop. So now I become a host. Because West Indian used to be the person who carries your records, there's the person who mixes, and there's the mic man, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how it is. Like, you really don't, you know what I mean? You always see sound clashes. Yeah. There's one person on the mic talking,
and then the DJ
mixing. Low, low, low. And they make the argument. Mm-hmm. So I took that style because nobody was doing that. And there was no DJ ever doing that in the city. And at them times, there were, let's say it was Culture, DJ Culture. Yeah. Culture, and then he would have Silky Villante or Frank Jugger hosting. So when I came to the game, I was like, that's how I really got my name, because I was the first and only DJ. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Only DJ that was talking and DJing. Like, man, this guy does it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I got so good at what I was doing. It's like, bro, we don't got a book. I'm going to say it. We don't got a book Fame Fortune. We don't got a book this person or that person. Like, Poof does all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my niche. I created a lane that wasn't there. Why pay you and you when this guy Booth does all that? The guy does hip hop, reggae, everything. You know, at that time it was just hip hop and reggae. There was no Afro beats.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even reggaeton. Mm-hmm. It was none of that. I think Nori was the one who really introduced reggaeton, but it wasn't really where it's at now. Mm-hmm. So we talking about was just hip hop and reggae. It wasn't even that much soca, you know, in the city like that. So I came in the game, I brought all that. So that's how I created, and I'll say it, I am the father to the DJs that talk. That if they, I'm not gonna talk to West Indian DJs because they've been doing that.
You're talking about the American side.
The DJs, the hip hop DJs, the one that talk. I am the one who started that. That is just a fact, bro. Everybody who knows that.
Have you ever got any pushback on that? Like that?
There's not one person who could question me on that.
Bang.
Not one. And I have receipts. I have receipts.
All right, let's pay some bills. This episode is brought to you by Pepsi. That's right, Pepsi. I remember my first time going to an HBCU football game. Shout out to North Carolina A&T. It was one of the most memorable experiences of my life. I'm telling y'all, I got a chance to watch the HBCU team in the band bring so much excitement to the stadium. Completely packed with fans. I'm talking about moms, grandmas, dads, uncles, alumni. Everyone was there. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And the best part about it is that Pepsi is a proud supporter of HBCU students on and off the field. Pepsi and HBCUs. That's what I like.
So now you tear it up. You get to the city.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make that jump? I'm not DJ, so I can only guess to, you know, my peers and what their hopes and wishes are. Mm-hmm. How do you make the jump to being on tour with, you know, being Fab's DJ, Nikki's DJ,
Wendy Williams, yeah.
The Wendy Williams show. How does that happen?
So DJing clubs got really, really good. You know,
you DJ for Jordan.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's so, you know, like like we said, it started from the local, got really good. I took over my borough, Brooklyn. Like, I eat, sleep, breathe Brooklyn, man. I take Brooklyn everywhere I go. Got so good in Brooklyn where, you know, D, round the clock. Promoter said, Boof, yeah, Boof, you got it. You the king of Brooklyn when it comes to DJing. You got it. But you need to start thinking you want New York.
Mm-hmm.
You want, get the relationships from the Bronx, Queens. So now I have to start working on tapping into those markets. Now I could be New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like what, you know, we all know Flex was New York. I need to be New York. And I'm ready to compete.
Right.
Because I got the streets. And now, you know, And I'll say this. I knew something was happening when Funk Flex said my name on the radio.
Mm.
I was creating so much buzz that Funk Flex said something like $400 DJs. Like, remember, I'm starting off $400 DJs like Boof. And I'm like, what? He said my name? Wow, I'm making some noise. Most people would take that as offensive. Like, yo, he called you $400. Yeah, $400 a night times seven is $2,800. 2,800, you know.
Four times
you do
a
the
month.
Math. That's damn near what? Was that 5,600 every 2 weeks? Mm-hmm. That's about, over $10,000 a month?
Yeah.
About $100,000 a year back then?
Back then?
Was like, back then, that's upper class. That's what, middle class?
That's middle class. High middle class.
High middle class. Yeah. Tax-free.
I was about to say tax-free and a young nigga?
Yes. Driving a Charger.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No, I think I had my mom's caravan back then.
So you was good.
I didn't even tell you the story how I really got... Oh, I didn't even tell you... Oh, I got a story.
We saved for Patreon.
Yeah.
We're going to do a Patreon episode.
Ooh,
we'll
I got a
Patreon.
Story. Woo! I'm DJing. I get to the city... I created this whole sound where I'm the only DJ talking.
With other DJs pushing back at the time? Yeah. They were like, yo, why are you doing it?
Yeah, yeah, because like, at that time, a lot of DJs had business cards.
Mm.
I was the first DJ that came out with a DJ flyer. Promo okay. flyer.
Gotcha.
I mean, there was no DJ putting up, big posters. Yeah. I did all that. Me and my manager, Fresh Garcia, my friend. And we started it. We started that. And then I remember I get a phone call from like DJ Self.
Mm-hmm.
It was Self or Will. It was like they had the union. So yeah. the union was like these yeah. groups, Snatch One, mm-hmm. Will, Self. It was a
Novocaine over there now.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so many. It's good people. And then they had this one meeting at Fashion 40. It's called, okay. called Fashion 40. Okay. Right. And like, we want to bring Boof. I remember Self saying, yo, man, we got to get Boof. Boof is hot. Boof mm-hmm. is the guy doing everything. And I remember Self was like, look, I'll never forget. I was there. Self was like, look, this guy got business flyers. He got flyers.
Mm-hmm.
We got cards. Like Boof is talking. Like this guy is that guy. Or however he said it, if I remember right. And then at that same time, then I get a phone call. Would you like to be a big dog pit bull? So this was like Flex, mm-hmm, Mr.
Mm-hmm,
C.
Mm-hmm. Enough?
I don't know if enough.
No, not enough.
I think it was just Flex and Mr. C at that time. And then it was just recruiting other people, mm-hmm. this and third. And it was me, shot the Triple X. I think I came in. That's when that was a Chow, Magic, somebody else. And then I remember, at that time, like I said, I'm breaking records at that time. I started, what up, bye was a terminology. Mm-hmm. Everybody was like, what up, bye?
Mm-hmm.
That was me and 9/11 Kevin. Rest in peace, G-Baby.
That's the Bohemian shit, right? Bye? Yeah.
What up, bye?
Yeah.
What up, bye? Man? That was like the huge lingo in Brooklyn. Yeah. That so I was behind that. And then I was breaking records. Crazy. Like when people would listen to Rock Boys, I was breaking, yeah. well, I know if American mm-hmm, Gangster, when mm-hmm. it came, I get money, I got like 50 cents. Yeah. I got the original record who had it first, that beat first. It's
okay.
crazy.
Okay.
And I broke it in Club Rain.
Okay.
The same club. And then like 2 weeks later, I remember hearing 50 cents. I get money. I'm like, yo, how crazy is like? I got the dude who actually mm-hmm. had the record and had his own verse, but yeah. then 50 came out with this monster record. And boom, it's crazy, bro. So crazy. So that was the DJ. I was hungry. I was going back and forth to Atlanta. It's crazy. I was going back and forth to Atlanta, bringing records back, mm-hmm. swag surfing. That was all me.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know that.
Well, I blame you then.
No, I
will hold that against you forever.
I was bringing records back and forth from Atlanta to New York.
Mm-hmm.
So swag surfing was one. I could go on and on with records, artists I broke, swags, and then Self put Fab and then Juel Santana for the remix.
Mm-hmm.
But I was originally bringing records, and then I was opening up for DJ Envy at this club called Plum, and which was now, they changed the name, it was called Up and Down now.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Dame Dash was like part on so that's how. So I'm doing that club, and I would bring, and DJs used to come there to listen to me play to hear what records I'm about to break. And what records, I was that guy, bro. I had to hear the street. I felt like I was an A&R. That's how I knew
DJ. You were the DJ's DJ.
Yes, bro, 100%. But I was opening still for Envy. I remember seeing Envy's checks like, damn, I can't wait to get this sort of money. You know what I mean? Because back then, that sort of money, it may not mean shit now, but it was a lot of money back then.
Right,
you got to
right.
think, like,
$1,000
back then was like $10,000.
And it's quantifiable, right? Like,
right.
if I'm getting $1,000, right. that means I've moved up.
Right.
Like, in hosting, it's the same thing.
Right.
Like, if I'm hosting and I'm coming from just doing it for promotion.
Right.
Then going to 150.
Right.
200. I remember I thought I was doing shit when I was getting 500 a gig, and I'm doing 3 gigs a week.
Right.
So then to get what I'm getting now, I'm like, yeah, it's quant.
Even I said 400. When Flex said $400, bro, I'm like, man, bro, I'm only like 18 yeah. getting $400. And I'm in prime clubs.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh.
Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
That shit, it's so
weird.
It's
crazy,
it's so
bro.
Weird. It's such a weird. The host DJ, the people who keep the events moving,
right.
It's such a weird dichotomy of right. how this shit works.
Right.
And nobody else will understand it
right.
except us.
People
because,
that's in it.
Because like actors and artists, they don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if you act, then, you know, there's a union and there's SAG-AFTRA and they'll right. take care. You know, artists, you got your management, agents, everybody.
Right.
For us,
right.
for a long time, it's just us until somebody says, oh, you could be this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're, like you said earlier, you come from DJing a club for 4 hours and
right.
it's just you.
All night, yeah.
And when you said that, I was like, yo, that's me. Like, I remember hosting for 4 to 6. If the party said
right.
12 to 6,
mm-hmm.
Mouse was hosting
right.
from 12 to six. The only break I had
right.
is whenever the DJ did reggae.
Right.
I don't speak over reggae. I'm
right.
not West Indian.
Right.
So I don't know the link. So I just, as soon as that he would play it, I'm like, oh, let's go to the Parkway.
Right.
And I get out the way.
You didn't want to sound like Malik Yoba and like Bobsled. Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings, yeah. That's not me.
He was horrible.
So I'm like, let me get out the way. So that'd be my break. I get a little 40-minute break.
Right.
Then I'm back. You know what I mean? So it's like, you said, so like to know, you know, just billing on, even seeing your name on the flyer the first couple times is like, you know, that placement on the flyer gets different depending on how important you are.
I got shoe boxes of all the flyers I have, clubs. I got shoe boxes. I saved every single last one of them. Every flyer with my name on it, like that just meant so much to me. And, you know, as I was saying, like, you know, I started from, you know, doing these clubs and getting to the city and opening up. And breaking these records. And then, you know, I always knew who Fab was.
Yeah.
We all knew Fab. And Wendy Williams.
And that's what I'm most interested in. How did
Wendy
you get
Williams
the Wendy?
Was her, at that time, her husband was in a club celebrating his birthday at Club Plum.
Gotcha.
The old Up and Down.
The old FMV.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He was sitting there celebrating his birthday. He came there early.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously I'm the opening DJ,
mm-hmm.
so I had a mean opening R&B set into soft hip-hop.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, 112, only yep. you, like that
going
sort
into
of,
that, yeah.
going into that. So Envy would come in, I think, like 1:30, 1:45,
mm-hmm.
2 o'clock, and he would play all the way to, like, 3, clubs close at 4 a.m., so he'll play, like, 3 to, like, he'll play all the way to 3:15, and I'll have to get back
you
on
to, okay.
and do the 45, close
right,
out,
right, right,
slow
right.
it down.
Right.
That, so I'm a DJ, bro, so... So he came in there early and I did my thing. And then he came back to somebody, this promoter named Madam Miska. She's mm-hmm. from the Bronx. I believe, no, from Harlem, pardon me. Yeah, uptown somewhere. And she was like, yo, man, like, yo, would you like to DJ on my boy's show? I'm like, what you mean? So when he said, you did your thing, he was like, yo, he was impressed. And at that time, DJ SNS was
also,
a DJ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Dallas Green, they were both the DJs. At the Wendy Williams show. It's like the very
like
sneak
first
peek.
Yeah.
Like, not even first. It was like right in that. Before you get to the first season, I was like, I think like the first season,
yeah.
somewhere around there. And then they were DJing. And I don't know. I mean, me and SNS is my boy. And we spoke about this, like, screen show the other day. And then reason why he wasn't there no more. Why he left
mm-hmm.
is because, like, obviously he wanted to get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you doing this, it's like, you were interning at that
mm-hmm.
point. So I'm like, my hell, you know, at that time, remember, I got my weight up.
Yep.
I'm in the city. I'm driving a Maserati at that time.
Nice.
I'm a blue
mm-hmm.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah, we seen it.
Blue with the red
mm-hmm.
guts, right? I elevated, man. Yeah. I went from a mom station wagon, carried a Ford Windstar to a Dodge Charger to a Maserati. Mazzy. And yeah. I had two of them. I had a blue one and a white one.
I remember seeing the blue one when you would do the parties.
Yeah, I had a blue with red guts. And then when I got more money, I got rid of that hard top pause and I got the
right.
white convertible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I had the blue one and then I asked S when I found out S wasn't doing that. I'm like, well, why did S turn down? Why are you not there no more? I'm like, nah, I'm gonna take that. I don't even care if they pay me or not.
Same.
I'm gonna take that and I'm gonna use that as leverage. So now it's DJ Booth from the Wendy Williams Show. Now I could charge my club price higher because now I have a.
You got
some weight on me. You know what I mean? So now that worked. It worked. I mean, it worked for a certain time to you know, bro, like. You know, promoters like, okay, this, like, Wendy's hot, but this ain't, we this in a club, this, bro. This like, this don't really this matter to that.
This ain't daytime TV.
Yeah, this is nighttime, bro. Right. Like, you know what I mean? So it did what it did, but then also, you know, I got to the show, and I didn't know it's my first time playing on a talk show, and I didn't know how to play for that sort of audience, because I'm just so used to hip-hop and reggae and how do I play for an audience like this? A wide mass from people's kids to grandmother, all diverse races. Audience, yeah, diverse audience. So I'm like, I asked my mom, I said, Mom, what the hell do I play?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, son, go listen to disco. So I'm like, huh? So I really went back. I was on YouTube and I looked at I studied disco music. Swear. I studied every disco record you could think of, from Donna Summers to you, I can go on to the Bee Gees. I'm talking about every disco song you could think of. Like, I know it like the back of my hand. Like, I could give you a discography when it came out, like everything. And I said, damn, disco, now I see where house music comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Same BPM, same everything. So that's now house. And so now what happens? I learned house music.
Mm-hmm.
And then with house, then I learned there was different house music, yeah, progressive, opening, electro,
Chicago house music, completely different.
Dubstep came in and came out. You know what I mean? So now I'm learning pop culture now. So now I go to the Wendy show, first time there. What I did was create the energy in the audience to give Wendy that energy for her. Because remember, Wendy is straight, authentic.
Yeah.
She's freestyle. She's the best at what she do, 100%. So I'm doing what I do in the clubs, but I'm doing that on daytime television. So I'm bringing a club to daytime television. So what I do, but Wendy was always going to do her.
Yep.
But what I did was bring that extra energy. So even let's say if she was feeling a little tired, I'm bringing her back to life. You know what I mean? Or, wow, the audience is pumped. You know, not at, it was every, I felt like my, what I did was very instrumental to, we all did good at that show. Yeah. Everybody was a good moving part. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I love what I did so much. I think that's why, you know, I love what I did so much. And it loved me back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I got the show. So I went in and I killed it. So I'm pretty much playing, let's say, Marvin Gaye.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm bringing in Chingy. I'm bringing in Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And I'm transitioning where your mom's who's 50 years old partying to Stanky Leg, but then I go right back into, you know, Stylistics or something like that. You're like, wow, how did he transition that and made it fun and brought it back to We Are Family, Sister Sledge. How did he do that with hosting? Watch out for the big girl. And it really be a big girl in there, but I made her feel comfortable.
Yeah, you make
to
her
be
feel seen.
Come on down, girl, your sexy self. So that's what I did for 1 hour straight.
Oh, you had to do it for, you had to rock for an hour.
Yeah, because it's a talk show.
Okay.
So talk show an hour.
No, I think
in between commercial breaks, when they're walking in.
That's what I'm saying. So you're DJing from doors opening till Wendy comes out.
Yep.
So what is that, probably a 30-minute?
Like 30-minute, and then the show starts,
and then you're DJing in
breaks,
every commercial break.
Keeping the energy so people don't get tired or like, what's going on? And I'm just saying, you know, just doing, you know, I'm just creating, bro. Like, it's promoter. Yeah. So I'm just creating, and they loved it. And then I'm doing it for free.
Mm.
I'm doing it for free
the whole time.
The whole time, because I love what I do. And I'm like, you know, it's going to get great later. It's cool. It's going to get cool. And then finally, you know, I started getting, you know, taken care of. And, you know, before you know, I'm getting paid to do what I love.
Mm.
You know, so I don't regret anything. Like when you, I did it for the love. I did it because I loved it. You know, Biggie said, you know, you do things when your heart, when love is involved. Mm-hmm. And it took care of me. And it felt like, this ain't a job. This is...
Only do it when your heart's in it.
Right.
Live the free sky's
limit. It took care of me. And then before you know, this is my home. This is my home.
Now you tear the road up. Mm-hmm. Now you tear the road up more than me. Like, right. You are... Like, I be getting breaks in between. You live, like, you got the residency...
Holmes.
You got the residency in Miami, North Carolina.
Miami, we still working on Miami. Okay. Still working
well,
on Miami.
Well, I just spoken into existence.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got
I had it before, but then, okay. You know, a lot, it was like, you know, mm-hmm. In and out. You got to really stay there to really get it.
Get it. Gotcha. Yeah. But you definitely have the residency in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You got the residency in Atlanta. Crazy residency.
Monday through Sunday. That was Charlotte calling right now from last night.
And then you got, obviously, New York.
New York, yep.
How do you?
Well, it started from, like I said.
How do you make that all work at once? How do you make all this work simultaneously?
I don't know, bro. People ask me that with Fab and Nicki. Like, how do you DJ, how you sign to two major artists and on a talk show and you still do clubs and radio?
Do you believe in sleep?
No. I seen some of Steve Harvey. You know, I seen some. I'm like, I used to say, man, only time I want sleep is when I'm dead. Like, right. I'm trying to be up.
Right.
And they were like, nah, but you got to rest your body. You need. And then I seen with Steve, that one thing Steve Harvey said, how you guys sleeping? There's 8 hours a day. The richest people in the world, you know, da 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 da. And I seen some people disagree with him. Like, right. Shut up, Steve. You need sleep. You need sleep.
Right, right.
Like, for me, I guess because I started from Brooklyn, I used to get up 6 o'clock every morning to go to Boys and Girls High School because there was a window to get free breakfast.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to go early to get that free breakfast. It was like around 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So my body, I'm conditioned to get up early. You know, most West Indian parents, they get up really early because, you know, they used to be in a, you know,
it's the same
thing. They didn't have bathrooms. They have back houses.
Back
you know,
houses,
and
yeah.
You had to go in and wash this and there. So, I'm an early person. I like to get up early, get my day started, pray in the morning, you know, do what I need to do, create the energy I need for the rest of the day.
Right.
And that's just been with me all this time. So I was able to just, you know, once the Wendy situation came, and then I knew Nicki Minaj for a very long time, you know, pretty much there from, can I say day one? Yeah. Day one going into day two.
Okay.
I would say that because so, I wasn't with her. So
in the Queens.
Yes, New York, I was there for the
Queens. Beam Me Up Scotty days.
Yes.
You were there.
I was there. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I was indeed at that. So at this time, it was Nicki mixtapes. This one, she was a big Fendi.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Shout out to Fendi.
Yeah, shout out to Fendi. Shout out to my brother Fendi.
We got to have Fendi on this.
I can make that happen.
Yeah, let's make Fendi.
He might say, give me some money.
Tell Fendi Mouse that leave me alone.
So Fendi was the come up DVDs. Yep. So that's how that was before the Beam Me Up Scotties. Mm-hmm. This was the come up DVDs, if I'm right.
Yeah, with the Apple Bottom purse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I could show you pictures.
I remember.
I got pictures of me and Nicki when, oh my God, when we used to do Lenny S, Maya the Brazilianaire, the round table.
Okay.
This is like podcast before podcast.
Yeah.
So you understand, I'm talking about, they used to bring artists there. I got pictures of Nicki and Aldo back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got real, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I was a DJ on that too. So there's a lot of things people don't know. Shout out to Lenny S, you know what I mean? So, it started with that. So Nicki was doing a lot of talent shows, Flex in Brooklyn. People didn't know that.
Mm.
And, you know, at that time, you know, it was Safari, Nicki. It was in a group, I think Hood Stars or something
like that. Yeah, Hood Stars. Hood Stars was the name.
And shout out to the whole team over there. And I was a DJ for Flex in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I was dancing and DJing. Mm-hmm. And when I heard her spit, I'm like, man, she's a problem.
Mm.
And I just started watching, studying. And I don't know if Fendi was still there. And then it was Sycamore. If you know who Sycamore is.
Yeah, Sycamore. Over there at Columbia. No. Where's he at? Is he at Columbia?
I don't know.
I forgot what label he's at.
Yeah, but, you know, he's working with everybody. Yeah. YG, Travis Scott, you know. And at that time, you know, Sycamore's my guy.
Yep.
Sycamore, we dated one person I dated. I mean, no, we've dated like... And he's Trini.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's my guy. I mean, Sycamore's my guy. But we were young, super young, you know? And Sycamore, I think was working with Nicki's project or something like that around then. And he used to always put his tags on songs, Sycamore. Mm-hmm. And us DJs, we hate playing, you know, a song that has a DJ tag.
Right.
So there was a program called Sony Soundforge where I was able to take off a tag. Like if it, Mouse Jones, if I was able to take your tag out and still have that beat in it, pausing and all that. And I did that, and that's how I started servicing Nicki. I was servicing her records. You would think if I worked at a label or
A&R.
So I took out those tags, and I was playing her freestyles, and then boom, you know, obviously Itty Bitty Piggy was the huge, and then that's how I was most known to break Nicki Minaj, you know, amongst the DJs, and you know, and really putting her out there, you know, because there wasn't no social media. It was on the come up DVDs or, you know.
Yeah, early MySpace days at the time,
So I was a DJ who was breaking artists like her and other artists. We'll get into that. And I was doing that. And then, you know, I was doing that. And then, boom, Nicki was just climbing. And then we bumped into each other back. Like, oh, my God, Boof, what's up? Long time. We bumped back into at Wendy's show. When she came to Wendy's first, I think her first, when she...
When she was on that,
I was a DJ behind working with all these artists. I was breaking records without telling people I was breaking records, but DJs knew, Boof, like, there's DJs that tell you, we know who Nicki because of Boof. Boof was the one who did all that. That was my thing. I just went to, you know, swag. So I can go on and on and on.
Right.
Drake, I can comfortably say I was one who broke his records. 100%. Because at the time, I used to make mixtapes. And I can show, I have time stamps on them. It's crazy, bro. But I would say that, well, most people say another DJ probably did it or whatever. But I feel like when it come to New York, that was me. Because I was hungry. I was looking for the next artist, looking to be the first to break records, you know, at that time, you know. And boom, me and Nicki, boom. It's crazy how I seen that. What's up, Boof? Long time no see. Da-da-da-da. You know, and that's how we just made it happen. And then, boom. Fab, everything just started. It was like a Chicago Bull Run, like a three-peat. The Wendy and Nicki and Fab all came in at the same time while I'm still doing clubs and all that. So now I'm doing, you know,
Fab. So now you're doing Fab, Nicki.
Pause.
Wendy.
Pause.
That was big pause. Big pause.
Still doing my clubs. Still doing my...
Boof is the worst for progression.
I'm sorry, man.
I just want to say.
It's this hip-hop community,
I'm
man.
I'm usually the pauser on this podcast.
I paused my mom, bro.
All right.
Said some crazy the other day.
You're like, pause.
Put it in the fridge. What? Chill
out. Put it in the fridge?
Damn.
What is the fridge? Need to know what is the fridge.
So some put it in the fridge. Hey, yo, ma, chill out, ma.
Ma, you got to be like, ma, why you so horny? Relax.
Like, you got dad. Dad's still married. Like,
So you doing all of that. Then you add...
My weekly clubs.
You add the clubs in because you can't forget about that.
Yeah.
You got any space for anything else at this point?
I had nothing else, bro. Had nothing. I couldn't do nothing.
No, I'm talking about right now with everything going on.
So now, now I'm out on the Wendy's show. I've been there 12 years. It was a great experience. Shout out to Wendy, everybody over there. You know, it was time for me to elevate, you know? You know, it was a good...
Do you still want to do TV or you just want to...
If it comes, but now... You know, me being, like, I was on 106 in Park as a judge.
I remember.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I did work with the NBA, NFL, worked with
those
private
NBA
events for
so
Michael
good.
Jordan, his son's wedding, his best friend's wedding, did Jay-Z and Beyonce's events for On the Run Tour.
Yeah.
That led me to start working with a lot of holiday parties. I worked with Jake Gyllenhaal. Did his private, started working with, I did the People's Choice Awards. I started doing like huge. So everything was just like a domino effect. Just hard work, being consistent, and you know, and outworking everybody. Okay, you want to go to sleep? Nah, bro. I'm not going to sleep.
You never worried about breaking down.
I don't smoke. I don't drink. You know, if I do smoke or if I drink, it's obviously occasionally for, you know, or, you know, obviously, you know, I'm with the Harding, which is the number one dispensary brand in Las Vegas. Shout out to my Harding family. They introduced me into CBD oils. We got the CBD oils, face masks, edibles, Ace pre-rolls. Shout out to my good friends over there. But, you know, everything just started clicking.
Tell Harding to come spend some money with the guys next door.
Yeah, right there.
All right. Harding, come spend some money with the guys next door.
You know, shout out to my guys over there. But everything just started working, you know. And then, you know, the younger artists, I kept saying, man, I got to keep going. I got these clubs. I got huge artists as Fab and Nicki. I got to get younger artists, you know, because history shows, like, you know, I felt like I did a lot, you know, for those artists, my Fab and Nicki. But I also felt like, man, like I wanna really, really get to the bottom of really breaking an artist. You know what I mean? And then A Boogie came along.
Mm.
I caught A Boogie not day one, going into day two. I would say that, you know,
after the artist tape drop.
No, so he had a DJ prior to that. One of his mans.
Like, I got you.
Mans,
okay.
This is when he was doing college shows. Mm-hmm. This is before he was known as Artist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He wasn't able to.
So I came in right after that because Fab had a management. Fab management started managing him. And that's when I came along. Your booth, can you help? You know, with Boogie, let's, you know, with the shows and all that. I'm like, man, he's dope, man. Like, super dope. So I came in at a period. Working with him, shout out to, he's good, man. He's really good.
Yeah.
Working with him, but my schedule got really crazy. So what I do? Hit my manager, shout out to Fresh Garcia, let's put somebody in place. Call my boy DJ Omanaya.
Okay.
Got my Omanaya into the A Boogie situation. And then I'm working with Famous Dex.
Okay.
Jay Critch.
Okay. Good New York guys.
Rich the Kid.
Well, Dex is from Chicago. Rich the Kid is from Queens.
Yeah. And then, you know, Pop Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, got, you know.
You put that Nicki.
I'm working. I mean, you know, I was the guy. You got to think, if I'm in a club every night, so I know what's hot. I still do baby showers and weddings and bar mitzvahs. Like, that's never going to stop, bro, because I love DJing. And then when you DJ baby showers and private events, you get it's more intimate.
Yeah.
So you know what they want.
Yeah.
You know they're listening to stuff that you may not be listening to right now. So now, yo, can you play this?
That's the only time I take those.
Can you play this? Like, I got a daughter, so I know what, you know, I know if dad, can you got to get up on this. I'm like, damn. I thought I knew everything, but this, you know, you got to think, as we getting older, they know stuff you don't even know. You think you know it all, but you don't.
My daughter stay coming to me with some TikTok. I'll be writing it down.
And that's why you look at some of these artists, when you see, like, Drake do a song with Migos, right? Somebody had to tell Drake. Either Drake was watching them from the beginning.
Well, I think he's so cerebral, he's probably been watching them from the
beginning. But you know what I mean? But there's always people in your camp that tell you, bro, this person is hot.
Definitely.
This person, you know, I feel like all major artists have those people in their camps that tell me, yo, bro, keep an eye on this person.
Since you got the eye right now, I want to know.
And I do this heavy, bro. I can tell you about a lot of artists.
So right now, who you got your eye on DJ-wise? Who you got your eye on artist-wise?
Ooh, man. I like, Russ artist, man. Russ got an art. Listen, he's black. He's African American.
He's not. Russ is fucking, he's a cracker. And
oh,
that's
my
what he
God.
Is.
Here
Russ,
you go.
That's what he is. Russ is a cracker. And I don't have. Listen, if you like to listen to cracker rap, that's.
Oh, it's not cracker. It's music.
It's not. It's cracker rap.
Oh, my God. We going to be. Listen.
Russ is garbage.
Yeah, I'm talking about the artist he signed.
What artist he signed?
I believe his name is Russell, I believe. It's crazy, right? Russ and Russell, right?
Russell signed La Russell?
Yeah, La Russell, yes.
That's Hov's artist, ain't it? Isn't that Hovain's artist?
You know he's with Russ, right?
I didn't know that. Yeah. Nah, I don't like him
Pull
no more.
Pull up your phone.
I don't like him no more. I like La Russell, though. No, shout out to La Russell. I like La Russell a lot.
So you see where I'm at?
I like La Russell a lot.
He's really good, bro.
I ain't gonna hold you. Hovain sent me that shit. I'm gonna say, like,
shout out to Hovain.
Hovain's a... That nigga's out of here. It's sick with him. I love what he's doing with that. We shouted him out the other week. He was on the show on a call talking about his you know, he got the class.
Right.
But yeah, I love everything Hovain doing. Another guy that didn't have to, that actually probably shouldn't have, because we was on opposite sides at the time, but another guy that put his arm around me, pulled me up, so I appreciate it. So yeah, you like Lil Russell as an artist. So DJ, who you got your eye on? Who's tearing it up? Who got
I like Simba too, man.
You like Simba?
He can rap. I would like to hear a song from him. I would like to hear a song.
Okay. I'm not mad at
it. He got bars.
I'm not saying he doesn't. Like you said, I just...
But it all depends on what people like.
I want to hear a song.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, songs is what, you know...
Right.
We know plenty of dudes that can rap, but can they make a song? Right? You know, that's pretty different, right?
That's like, there's completely
so
different.
Many talented people that make bars, but they can't make a song.
Right. Because you got
one... Why do you think that is?
I think because the talent... So you have a talent to rap.
Right.
But then to make songs is another talent.
Right.
And then to be able to transition, to be able to elevate is another talent.
So what artists you think who made songs that would...
Like, that's not popping right now?
Period.
Hove is one of those. Like, Hove is...
My favorite artist.
Like, Hove is... He's the GOAT of that. Like, Hove and Big are the GOATs of that from being able to rap. But then, look, I'm going to make a song, too.
But who else do you see that... has that potential. That's there. Another artist, J. Cole.
I think he still combats that, but the last project I liked a lot. So,
would you want me to show you something exclusively?
I mean, J. Cole got an artist that I like a lot, Luke. Luke is fire.
Right.
Luke is fire. And I think he has the talent of rapping and he has the talent to make songs, but he also had the talent of transition.
Mm-hmm.
If artists don't have that talent of transition, if artists, hosts, DJs, if you don't have the talent to transition, if you don't have the talent to be better,
right,
then you gonna be stuck at doing what you're doing.
I want to show you something for your eyes only. I mean, you can put out there. You see, I see you how you're the best at what you do right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have videos of questioning like.
Mm-hmm.
I was interviewing artists, Max B, going up to the... I'm
sure,
J. Cole. Mm-hmm. I found J. Cole before anybody.
In Miami?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I made him freestyle. Got it right here. This is when Wet Willies. This is before West Indies was going to Miami.
Right.
That's Punch.
I was about to say, that look like Punch, but he look mad skinny.
Watch this. Nobody ever heard this. I said three bars. I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about. Three bars.
Give me three bars. Oh, that's the shit. That's off that.
I got Max B. This is Rich Young days.
Rich Young.
I got videos. I never put none of these out. I got so much shit, bro. Thinking about putting them out.
That's what I'm about to say. So what you doing this year?
When Max come on, I was able to actually speak with Max's camp and all that. You know, he's about to drop a project.
Yep.
So I was feeling like all the video content that I do have, drop, sneak. Little snippets of it when they're getting ready to drop an album.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, I used to find them old videos, like, on Worldstar. Mm-hmm. Like, damn, where you find this shit from? Like,
I know we about to rap, but don't think I ain't noticed that you ain't answered that question about the upcoming DJs.
Oh, no, no, we could do
it. What's going on.
No. I said, no, listen. I used to go on rants a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like DJs, right? Like, and maybe because now I'm in that shoe where I can, you know, I'm in that space where I can look back and like, damn, I want DJs to really get past what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like I set the bar really high. Mm-hmm. It's not like I didn't know this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have a vision board and I used to write, I want to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I never asked how I was going to be on TV.
That's like,
just the Wendy Williams was the calling. I was able to do VH1 The Breaks with Mac Wiles and T.
Yep.
And I was in that as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so... I asked to be on tour. I was able to travel
multiple
the tour
tours
by myself with artists, finding Pop Smoke, managing Smooth L now, you know.
She's very smart.
Coil Ray. Found Coil Ray when no fact, one knew who she was.
There's an art. Matter of fact, yeah, I want to rap because there's some money I want to talk about. Yeah. So yeah, let me know who the DJ.
Yeah, but that's
you
another conversation.
Yeah, because yeah, there's some money I want to talk to you about in a few minutes when we wrap this. So yeah, who's
DJ wise?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I helped a lot of DJs because no one really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I want to help. So they
don't feel about this hosting shit, bro.
Yeah, I want to help because I feel like I got to give something back because no one helped. Now that I think about it, I don't know any DJ who really helped and showed me what to do because I've made my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know there were things that I said or did that I shouldn't have said and did as I was coming up. Luckily, so it didn't crucify me where I wouldn't be able to where I'm at now. But I want to be able to help the next generation of DJs. I want them to learn, you know, their craft, study their craft, study, don't just be stuck to hip hop. Mm-hmm. Learn every genre of music. Learn what it is to mix, scratch, blend, like, you know, learn the fundamentals of being a DJ. And to be honest right now, and I'm being honest, like, I'm competitive and I haven't seen a DJ come close to me yet.
Ooh, that's a challenge.
No. To what, rocking parties, yes.
What about
it's a bunch of technical DJs, that's cool.
What about True?
Blends is my guy, but nah, Blends.
Ooh.
He's my guy, but no.
I like this energy.
Blends my guy, but love. I
me and Blends came up together, so that's why like me and Blends came up.
I'm the
up
one who got Blends all his parties.
Okay.
I introduced him to Compton.
Okay.
And me and Blends is, I had to say, was someone like, I won't say family, because his uncle, Jason.
Oh, he Trini too.
No, he's Guyanese.
Guyanese, I'm my fault.
His uncle, my mother used to raise his uncle.
Mm.
Like, literally babysit. So
there's a familiar
exactly
connection.
Exactly. His uncle used to call me, and he was like, yo, bro, look out for my cousin. What's his name? He said, Jamal.
Oh, man.
He's like, yo, look out for my cousin Blends. Like, yo, I want you to help. And then when I was traveling so much with Fab and Nikki, I was working with Compton. Shout out to
NYC Compton. Shout out to NYC Compton. Shout out to Cass.
Compton used to get mad at me. Yo, bro, you keep leaving my, you know, what am I supposed to do with my problem? Like, yo, get Blends. And that's how you started seeing that. See, people don't know that. But yeah, that's my guy, bro.
Me and Blends came up tearing down Mixie Brunch, Dope Barbecue.
See, with Blends, Ben's my guy, 100%. But I'm competitive. He know if he in a club, like, dog, he know.
It's war.
All DJs are my homeboys, but when it's like LeBron and CP3, they playing like, you my guy, but dog, somebody when it's showtime, I'm dog, nah. But as far as him, I don't consider him upcoming no more because he came, he did his thing, he made the noise. So when you saying, I'm looking at he's not a vet, he's like, he got like five years.
He's still on that rookie contract, but his rookie year.
Right. He's about to get his max deal any day now. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like he had a taste for what potentially. So now he just have to mold it to where how he wants it.
Yeah.
And then boom. Like how what I did. I've came into the game, everything what I did, now DJs is doing exactly. You know, DJs is doing exactly what I did. They wasn't talking on mics. So where do you think all that came from? Me. So now it's like, so when it comes to upcoming DJs, under, let's say, Blends or
Novocaine?
Novocaine's
a bit ahead of me and Blends' time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like, and the timing has a lot to do with it. I came in at a time where it was the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had the older, younger,
yeah.
And I came in with the right artist. I came in with the right situation. And everything is timing, bro. I came in at the right time. And then for me to be at this point in my career, and I'm still running this shit, bro. Mm-hmm. Now it's just, did New York. Nothing in New York no more. You know, it's not what it used to be
more. Definitely not.
You know, there's no more dance floors. It's sections only now. You know, there's 3 spots now, and they're all ran by hospitality groups.
That's a fact.
So, and you know,
one of them just hit me up, though.
And you can't really get away with what you want to get away with, how clubs used to be.
Right.
Where you could play a record, break it, you know, just you can't do that now.
They,
you know what I mean?
You can't play
too much hip hop. You can't go too deep in with hip hop. You can't go too, it's, and I understand that format. So that's why, you know, I'm able to, I could take over Atlanta. I could come to North Carolina. I could come to Miami. I could come to Detroit. And I like where I'm at now because I don't just want to be stationed in one place no more. I like travel. I like seeing the world. And, you know,
I don't know. I might have to come to Atlanta.
Yeah.
I feel like
Atlanta's fun, bro.
I feel like some people think
New York used to be fun. It used to be so fun in parties where people used dance.
To be. Yeah, it used to be.
And now you can't really get that because when they don't even make that sort of music no more to dance. You're gonna be 50 years old still doing what you call it? Oh, please, you can't do the 5Gs. Think about it,
listen,
bro.
That's ours.
You ever thought about, like, your parents was sitting there like, man, the music back, we listen to Boogie Yoogie. When you turn 50, you're going to be...
Yo, that's what I was saying to you. I was about to say to you, like, because this will be the last thing we talk about, because we got to move. But I was thinking about it. We've been partying to the same records for almost 20 years. Like, a DJ set... Like, the hardest some of these DJ sets are records that have been playing for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Lola Brooks, sorry. It's another artist.
So it's like 20 years? That's nuts. But what you doing? Matter of fact, rock with me for the next episode. Co-host with me the next episode.
Let's do it.
I bet. So let's close this one out. Tell the people where they can support you, Yardine, all that good stuff, what you got going on.
Well, DJ Booth, you can find me on Instagram. Find me on MySpace if you that old and still got your shit. Black Planet.
You still have access to your MySpace? Yes.
I still got a photo bucket account. Right, let me have to put pushes on MySpace. All right,
man. Please tell these people.
Well, Instagram, DJ B-O-O-F, guys. DJ B-O-O-F on Instagram. Facebook, you know, the same DJ B-O-O-F. You know, every club you could think of,
we doing our sneaker war. We doing our sneaker war this year too.
Yeah, today I'm wearing.
He went crazy. I should have known.
I'm chilling.
He went crazy today. I should have known.
I'm chilling.
That's on me. But I should have known. I said, "Oh, Booth, come do the show." I should have known he was going to black.
Most people would crucify me for wearing this in the snow, but there's no more snow.
That's sneakers.
Yeah,
like that's why.
But
I tell
they say
everybody.
The salt destroys
their sneakers.
Right, but like, you like sneakers.
Exactly, but they're made to
you
wear.
You hate sneakers?
I love sneakers.
Ah.
Real ones.
Let's go back to love and hate now.
Not bootleg sneakers. Cool. Like, gotcha. So would you get the Cool Kai Yeezys?
No.
All right, that's what I'm saying. On that note.
Maybe Yeezys.
You not get Jordan Yeezy 1. Yeezys? Go ahead.
Shout out to Cool Kai, man.
No. I don't try sneaking a Cool Kai shout out on this podcast.
Why?
Because I don't shout out bootleg false.
He could be a good individual, though. He's a good person. You don't know that.
I don't know. I know that I know his brand is made off of bootlegging perfectly fine sneakers.
Let me ask you a question. Do you knock somebody who made millions of dollars because they bootleg something? Ready? Watch this. Ready? What do you think of? What do you think of? Ready? Dapper Dan.
Love Dapper Dan.
What did Dapper Dan do?
He took
bootlegged every Gucci.
He didn't bootleg it.
Yes, he did.
He took real Gucci material.
No, he did not.
He took real Gucci material.
Where did he get real Gucci material from? You got to get that from Gucci.
Sorry, so I don't
Where did you get Louis Vuitton? He
took the print.
Did you see Louis Vuitton Gucci on Big Pun? They don't even make that size,
He took
bro.
The real prints.
Rest in peace, Big Pun.
He took the real prints and put them on the but other things. That's
where
different.
Where do you get the print? Do you understand?
He didn't make Gucci bags.
He made clothing that never came out.
But he didn't make Gucci
bags. He made colorways.
If he made Gucci bags, that would be
different. You ever seen Louis Vuitton in pink and purple back then? No, straight.
I wasn't alive.
No, but you know, he made.
Can't speak about it.
Shout to Dapper Dan. But listen. Shout to Steve Stout because Steve Stout was able to merge Gucci and him.
Right.
And so he could get the real print, the real fabrics. He said in an interview, he didn't have real fabrics.
Well, he didn't come to the guy next door.
Better have that same energy for him because he bootlegged, bruh. He bootlegged.
Listen,
Jay-Z said in the raps. I mean, who said in raps? Dapper Dan. They all shouted his name out.
Everybody shout out Dapper Dan.
Yeah, because, but my thing is, it was the cool thing to rock bootlegs back then.
Well, they ain't back then no more.
All right, so
shout out to all the, and so shout out the real shit.
No more.
Shout out the real shit. Shout out all the real shit, not the bullshit, fugazi
cool.
shit. Because he didn't show up to, he knew he was going to do some shit. This is all I'm going to say.
Do we have an argument? Dapper Dan.
You're comparing Dapper Dan to Cool Kai. But you're talking about Dapper Dan in 1980, whatever.
All
compared
right.
to 2022.
All right. But Dapper Dan made millions of dollars. He made a lot of money.
Gucci print.
You knew better.
Making when sizes better, that Gucci and Louis better, never made.
When you know better, you do better.
But if listen, the thing is to make money.
Yo,
so if go somebody with, makes a fake Jordan so 1 and makes millions so why, of colorways to it and it becomes
so why you never wore fake sneakers before then?
Because I like to buy original stuff.
All right, then. Thank
That's
you very
a
much.
Preference
so that, thank
of
you,
mine.
Thank you. Thank you. So thank you. We appreciate y'all. DJ Booth, my guy. Make sure y'all head to the Patreon. He's going to co-host the Patreon episode with me next. So make sure y'all head to the Patreon.
Oh, man, we got to have a good time
pick up some
doing
keys. Because this nigga Booth is crazy. He's wild. He's nuts. He's sick. All right. DJ Booth, my guy.
I support
guy.
Anybody who's able to do something and
so why you ain't made me
win?
So why you ain't made me?
Once you get to that point, okay, I've been bootlegging for so long. Let me legitimize. Let me make my own silhouette of a Jordan 1 and not make these. I respect that. So I think as long as you have a start and end, you know what I mean? Like, it's like a drug dealers, right? They get in the game. They're supposed to be, yo, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in and get out. Some of them stay too long, and that's how they get jammed up. You know what I mean? So you got to have a plan. You know what I mean? Eventually make enough money. Okay, cool. Now we can go to a factory. Now I made enough money. I can hire my boys. Yo, bro, can you design a sneaker so we don't have to continue using this silhouette of a Jordan 1? That's just my opinion. So I think...
Sound like bullshit to me.
I think now he got to a point where, no, he's a millionaire. Let me make... Now he has followers now. He has a cult of people that buy his shoes. Now, let me see how much do they support me now once I make a completely different design. Now they have to copy someone else's. Now we're going to see if they support me or not.
Niggas who make a come up off of bootlegging don't ever come with their own shit. I'll wait.
So let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Dapper Dan did the. Well, hear what I'm saying. He did the thing with the Gucci and Louis and all that, right?
But he's a customizer. He's a designer.
All right,
you give him something to
he
design.
Customize. You hear what I'm saying?
Right, but if Kool Kai said he was a customizer, I'd shut up.
Customize. He desperate. You know what? He did a Jordan 1, and instead of the check, he did the little bolt. The bolt. So he customized.
So why
well
you didn't
too.
Go get Jordan 1s then?
What'd you say?
He didn't do Jordan 1s though.
He was a sneakerhead. I mean,
but he didn't do Jordan 1s. He went and got the Jordan 1 silhouette. It's a different.
All right.
If he would have been doing his own design on Jordan 1s,
it's the same way you buying a white t-shirt and you putting your own design on it.
No, it's not. White t-shirts are plain. They'd be plain.
All right. But my thing is you still customize.
Who has the white t-shirt patent?
What'd you say?
Who has the white t-shirt patent? Exactly.
I mean, there's different brands.
All right.
There's Hanes. There's
Patreon. Come back. See us because this nigga's sick. Patreon got a really good Patreon episode coming up. So make sure y'all check us out. DJ Booth, man. God next door. We see y'all on Monday. This guy's sick. Sean, come on, bro.
You understand that argument,
I'm Mouse
though.
Jones. I'm Mac Wilds.
I'm Flora.
And we are...
Guys Next Door.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.